Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back into the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning show. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery in for John Fricke. Hugh going to be off a few days next week as he gets ready to head down to
Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras in Mobile.
Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama.
Good to be with you on this Friday morning. Busy morning still to come. Carlos Bocanegra going to join us here in a little bit. We do also invite you 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also to our new, improved, Hey, It's Back. Speaking it into existence, Solomon Brothers. Diamond text line. So we will have that. I guess it's up and running is what I heard. Nobody told me how to log in, so maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. The Solomon Brothers. No, I'm excited about being able to use the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
So we have that available to you. Of course, all of our social media, Hugh, if you need to be part of that, it's at 929 The Game. We got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Match and MySpace and Grindr and Tinder and Bumble and
all of that.
Yeah, Black People Meet and all kinds of good stuff
Black
out there.
So I remember that back in the day.
It's all out there for you. It's all out there at 929 The Game. He's on Twitter if you want to follow along with Hugh and interact with him. Don't argue with him, but just be nice, will you? At BigHugh53.
I've done a lot better with my
I've
Twitter
noticed
beef.
That over the last
I have calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
And I have taken criticism in stride.
Okay.
So I'm getting. I've done a lot better. I'm doing a lot better.
I am at JMCH316. You want to follow along? Appreciate all the people that have hit me on Twitter here lately. Follow along with all my crazy nonsense and shenanigans, as they say, coming along. Well, obviously the big story in Atlanta locally. Atlanta United last night blows out CS Herediano. I'm glad we just don't have to see those guys again. I know Barco is extremely happy, and I have to see them again. 4-0 last night. Of course, at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. Nice setting. You could hear the crowd. If you had a chance to watch the streaming broadcast, it was on Yahoo Sports last night. That's where I watched it. So
yeah, I watched a little bit of that on there, too. It's a little odd watching TV on your computer. I got to say.
Yes.
I'm not accustomed to doing that because I guess I'm used to a bigger screen to watch TV on. Even if it's a smaller screen, it's still bigger than the one on the computer. So yeah, it was a little different.
Yeah, that's where I guess I'm used to it because I watch all the WWE pay-per-views on my tablet because I got the network on my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't.
Only time I like to watch on the tablet is if I'm on a plane and I have no other choice.
Wow,
that's it.
Well, but you're big time though. So you got all these things that you can rip and put together and figure out.
I wouldn't so much say that. It's just that maybe because
I'll say it. You don't say it, I'll say it.
I don't like those creature comforts. I don't like small screen TVs. I like a little bit bigger.
Of course, last night started off extremely fast as Joseph Martinez scores the fastest goal in Atlanta United history.
And now Breck Shea in the left attacking third with a cross towards Joseph. Knocked down, it's goal! Less than a minute into the match. Are you not entertained?
You know, Hugh, I thought last night the thing about Atlanta United was that they knew, they had to make up two goals last night. They knew that going in. So it wasn't a matter of you could just kind of settle in, you could kind of get comfortable and figure some things out. They knew that they had to get things off. Now, obviously, you don't intend to score in 47 seconds in a match like that. But at the same time, Atlanta United, especially in that early wave, really came after them. And you saw they knew they had to make up two goals pretty quick last night.
Yeah, no question about that. And they came out with a sense of urgency. I think that, going into that first match down there in Costa Rica, they kind of knew they were going into a buzzsaw. And they knew the fact that they were going to be playing a team that has already had a bunch of games, a bunch of matches under their belt. They came back and they answered the bell extremely well. Thinking about what some of the things that Jason Longshore said yesterday about going into this match, about how their legs are probably going to be a little heavy because they had played a match in between the time that they played Atlanta United and the one that they had last night. So it was a little bit of that. But Listen, you put it out there like that, you put your squad out there, and they beat them. They beat them all up and down the pitch.
How big is the difference, you know, having played in the NFL, when you talk about how much cohesion you can start to develop in practices with one another versus you have to actually get out and play games with one another?
I think it's important to get out there and play games. And that's the one thing about, especially for me, I think, in the playoffs. You know, you always think about getting ready for the playoffs and a team that has to buy that rest versus rust
right.
situation. Kind of the same thing. You can get out there and you could try to simulate game speed as much as you possibly can.
Right.
Until you're actually out there doing it, you can't do that.
Right.
And I think that having that be their first match against Herediano down there in Costa Rica with all the hostile environment that you could potentially be in, the referees and just being out of town and things of that nature, I think that had a lot to play into the fact why Herediano won the first match. And the second time you're back home, and shout out to all the fans.
Oh, yeah.
That were out there
crowd.
In Kennesaw.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
Loud, actually. I mean, for a smaller crowd, loud.
Yes, very, very loud, very, very engaged. Went back to their old school ways of standing up during the whole match. So shout out to them for being out there and being, you know, as attentive as they were. But, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. The first match being Atlanta United, the first one they played down there, the second one you saw them, they looked a lot crisper.
Right.
And I think that's what it was. And they kind of knew what you had to do. I think they want to try to keep this going as long as possible.
Oh, no question. They want to be a global brand, no doubt about it. And Hugh, too, talk to me about, look, Herediano, they had a match in between, like you said. And let's face it, you're coming from Costa Rica. So you're talking about the travel up here. Plus, I mean, obviously, I'm guessing it's probably with international travel and stuff like that. You've got a few other delays and stuff like that happen on a situation like that. So it kind of led to it had the ability to be a perfect storm for Atlanta United. You got a team that's played. You got a team that's having to travel up to your place internationally and things like that. So I would think that all kind of also had a factor in maybe Herediano not being ready and getting overwhelmed pretty quickly in this match.
Yeah, a little bit of that. A lot of that. I think, you know, with, again, we talked about the coming here and being here in the weather and them having probably some heavy legs, too. Jason mm-hmm. Longstor kind of alluded to that a little bit as well. All of those played, in fact. But, hey, listen, this is the way this CONCACAF is set up. And you can't complain about the structure of the match. You just got to go out there and play. And Atlanta United handled their business last night.
Here's Julian Gressel, who scored the second goal last night in the match, talking about the key was coming together as a team.
It was a lot about attacking our shape, you know, everybody kind of being patient enough to stay in their positions and really then try, you know, and create chances as a team instead of individually trying to dribble through three guys, you know. So it was really that, and then move the ball quickly side to side. I think two or three passes, we find the right guy in the right spot. He gives the final pass, you know, and that's what the way the goal happened.
I think you saw last night, Hugh, that Barco was a guy who was really trying to set the tone. He was working to set other guys up. And to your point, Hugh, that just comes with when you got new guys on the squad that are going to get a lot more playing time, just got to get out there on the pitch and start and actually get in game scenario.
Yeah, and I still think that with even though the win that Atlanta United had last night, they still are still trying to hit their stride. Haven't hit their stride yet because it's still a lot. This is only the second time on the pitch. So it's still a lot that they're probably going to have to work out. Frank DeBoer, the new coach, the new manager, whatever you want to call it for Atlanta United, I still think that there's a lot more. We just scratched the surface of this new Atlanta
right.
United squad.
Well, and one of the guys we talked about, Barco, last night, who got his brains beat out again, if you remember, last Thursday down at Herediano, he really took a beating down there. I don't know what it is about these I guess, international refs or whatever, but they let them play. But he was certainly a key last night in setting some things up and getting out on the offensive break. Here's manager Frank DeBoer talking about Barco and how he's still in that learning curve.
As a player in his position, he has to be more decisive, but we don't have to forget, he's still very young, and he has to learn, and, you know, of course he has to make goals in the future. But it all starts with this kind of mentality, with this kind of energy.
One change this year is that you'll have a manager that actually will have your audio clips this year.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it.
I'll say it. I don't care.
I was like, is this one? I don't want it to come off the wrong way. But no, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, wow, it's refreshing to have somebody that we can actually had a chance to talk to Frank DeBoer and communicate with him. He speaks like a ton of different languages.
Right.
Is a fan, had a chance to talk, and he's a fan of basketball. Steph Curry, that's what I remember from that conversation, because he was telling me about how he watched, the documentary on Steph Curry, or the way his work ethic, and he was just talking about how different football is here as compared to, American football, as compared to the football that he's coaching, and he was like,
don't professional athletes kind of gravitate to guys in other sports just when you become successful, like you. Take you, for instance. You know, I'm sure there were guys in the NBA or Major League Baseball or anything that you kind of gravitated to and said, man, I like that. I like the way that guy goes about his business.
You know who it was? Donald Brashear. He played hockey for the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm-hmm. And I just liked it because, one, he was one of the only few brothers that was on there playing hockey at the time. And he used to put his hands on folks. That's what I liked about him. Another guy was Wayne Simmons. He played for the Flyers for a little while. Who else that I could think of? Well, of course, Shaq. Because it was Shaq and Kobe at the height of when they were with the Lakers. Guys like that. Howie Long. Well, that was way before. That was not when I was playing, but just a fan of his work on Fox at the time. Yeah, it was a few.
I would think that's pretty natural out there. So good times. And now, Hugh, we get into. Now we get into MLS play as Atlanta United is up at DC United. That will be, of course, on Sunday, pre-match at 5:30, 6 o'clock tip-off. Of course, Jason Longshore and Mike Conti, all of your Atlanta United action right here. Is there any fear, Hugh, about the fact that, you know, they put a lot of energy for the fact that they knew they had to win last night? They knew they had to make it happen last night. Now you got to go on the road, and you're going up to Wayne Rooney, and you're going to get into action. I mean, any fear about any kind of letdown or hangover going into Sunday?
I honestly, I know this is uncharted territory. I understand that. But no, not really, because I think that what Darren Eels and Carlos Borchgrevink have done so far up until this point, they've put themselves in position by the way that they've set up their depth with this club so that they can do both. Because you're talking about, listen, you have to be able to do this, especially if you're talking about playing on an international stage.
Right.
If you're talking about being on an international stage, you have to be able to set your club up in a way that you can do both if you want to be known as one of those dominant clubs.
Right.
So you can't use that as an excuse. And I know we talked about, what was it, Seattle last year?
Toronto.
Toronto and how they were in this same situation.
Yep.
And how they faded when the season started. You learn from the mistakes that other clubs have made, and you try not to make those same mistakes. Now, again, I say that we are in uncharted territory. But at this point, and I know the season starts Sunday, I'm not too much concerned about it.
I'm curious to see if DeBoer makes any changes in the lineup going into Sunday. And to your point, Arthur, the difference that everybody believes about Atlanta United is they are a much deeper squad than what Toronto was. I mean, that was one of the things that Toronto didn't have, the overall depth that Atlanta United has. I think that's where everybody assumes that Atlanta United will have. But still, you're talking about you just played a tough match. And by the way, a physical match on Thursday night, Hugh, and now you're talking about you've got road travel. You know, it's one thing if you're just going from Kennesaw down to Mercedes-Benz, but now you got to get on a plane and you're going to get to D.C. So, you know, you don't get to necessarily, I don't want to say rest, but I mean, not that travel's hard, but just you're kind of out of a little different routine and stuff.
Yeah, but D.C.'s not a bad trip. Not for your first one. That's maybe a two-hour flight at the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like you're going from Atlanta to the
Vancouver.
West Coast.
Yeah,
it's not doing that. Yeah. So I don't think it'll be that bad. And again, I think that the way that this team is set up, they're prepared for this. I think going into this, and that's one of the things when I always go back to when we talk to Carlos Bocanegra, when we get a chance to talk to him, is that he is so focused on these upcoming matches in this upcoming season, that I think that they'll be prepared for anything that is thrown their way.
Yeah, 9:20 this morning, Carlos Bocanegra will join us, so we'll get his thoughts on what was a very successful night last night at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. When we get back, got some NFL news to get into. Oh, goody, video officials, because we need more guys and more video and more everything else. It's the morning show. John Chuck Rehan for Fricky. Hugh Douglas in the house.
Get exclusive Braves coverage here
as we take you live to Braves spring training in Florida with our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, still a lot going on in the NFL. We got NFL Combine starting up today. Underwear Olympics, as you call it?
Underwear Olympics, yeah. There, Chuck.
Back in the Kia Studios on the morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery in for John Fricke. Day two of Chuckery Palooza. Me and Randy Mack hanging out with you this weekend as Hugh heads down to Mobile.
Mobile, Alabama. Mobile is a beautiful place.
It's cool. Great food, great seafood, great place to go eat. It's a real southern kind of town.
Yeah.
It's a real southern kind of
town. This is the first
town.
Time. I've been there before. I have a friend of mine that lives there. Mm-hmm. I used to play with when I was with the Eagles. And this is the first time I'm actually going out there to hang out.
Right.
Heard that. Yeah, it's heard. It's a lot of women in Mobile. Mm. I'm just saying. I'm going to take pictures, y'all. Mm. Don't worry about that. I'm going to take a lot of pictures.
I'm focusing one at a time right now.
No, I'm not. No, I just like to look, man. I mean, you know, I like to talk. I just like to look.
Hey,
I like
Daryl.
To look.
Hey, Daryl. You know, like when they race the horses and they put the blinders on, you know, like in the Kentucky Derby.
No,
you can't see left, right. That's right now, that's right
no,
where
Chuck,
I am.
I'm just
you.
Going to look. Like, because right now, as sore as my legs are, I ain't chasing nobody. I ain't up for chasing.
Yeah, but if they chase you, they can catch you now.
No, they ain't going to. No. Like I have this thing. If you're chasing me, that something ain't right. That ain't how it's supposed to go. Like, you know, as a guy.
I don't know. It's 2018.
Mean? Yeah, I know it is. And I'm a little old. Like, even though I'm a caveman, I'm an old caveman.
No. You missed, Daryl. You should listen. It everything goes back to 2018. we're perpetually in 2018 with the way things
are going. I'm an old caveman, though, so I like old caveman traditional ways.
But you're not an old fashioned. See, I'm an old fashioned kind of guy. Like, yeah. I'm old fashioned when it comes to courting and dating and all those kinds of things.
No, I look at it like, I'm the aggressor. I'm the one that I'm going to make the first move. I mean, that's just how it is. If a woman makes a move on me, then I'm like, oh, something ain't right. Something must be wrong with you.
You don't think that she's bringing the game to you? That's the
way
I look at it.
It all depends, because women have a way of letting you know that they're interested. But if it's too straightforward, then I got a problem with that. Something ain't right. I mean, that's just me. Something ain't right. Something wrong with you or something up. That's just how I feel about it. So yeah, I'm a little bit old fashioned.
I can just hope and speak it into existence. That's all.
Yes, and that's all. Yeah. Back to Mobile. Can't wait to get to Mobile.
The NFL. There's an NFL called the National Football League.
Yeah.
Hugh, there's a story out there about how the league may put an extra official who would monitor available camera angles and who would be available to correct egregious errors in real time. A video official. It says here, not as part of a second look, but as part of the first look, but with unique perspective of seeing what we all see when we're watching the game on TV. So
is that
now
right?
We've got more.
Wait a minute. You mean the fact that we were told we weren't going to change anything about what happened in that Saints-Rams game?
You know what happens as we keep going down this video and robot mode and all that, right? You know how the story ends, right? Will Smith comes in and has to shoot all the robots.
You're talking about, what's that? What was that?
iRobot.
iRobot, yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
But this is funny, because we just said that we weren't going to change anything. Didn't they say that? If I'm not mistaken, AT, didn't they just say that they weren't going to change anything?
Well,
considered a change?
The committees are meeting, you know, where it's in committee.
But isn't this considered a change?
No, well, this is a different committee. It may not change. This is the coaches subcommittee.
Okay.
That the initial group was the competition committee.
It's the subcommittee of the other committee of the I mean,
again,
it's so convoluted. It's so convoluted.
They said that nothing was going to, like, they gave us the impression. I'm not going to say they didn't say it was going to change. But they gave us the impression that nothing was going to change. That was my understanding. Am I wrong in my assessment of that?
I don't know if they said nothing would change, but they were going to review everything. You know, every year it's let's look at everything and see if there's any changes. Now, whether changes actually happen, you know, that's where the league gives you lip service and says, yeah, this, that, and the other. But, you know, whether there's actual changes, now that's a different story. That's different about whether or not they're actually going to do something out there.
I agree.
Now, I know you enjoyed this story very much when this was put out. Monday Night Football analyst Jason Witten, who took a beating, who took a worse beating than Barco last night for his first year on the job of Monday Night Football, has decided that he is returning to the Cowboys. He's signing a one-year, $3.5 million deal. You want to come back in the league for one more year?
First of all, let me say that to answer your question. It's nice to have options. It's nice to have options. And it's nice to be able to go back to a game that you love. But, number one, I'm not going to let anybody run me out of anywhere. And I think that's what happened in this situation. I think that all the ridicule.
Do you think he caved?
I think I think the criticism. You know what? I think the straw that broke the camel's back is when he broke the trophy at the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. When he broke the trophy at the Pro Bowl and he got ridiculed for that, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know if he's married, but I think that he sat there at home with his wife or significant other, and he said, you know, baby, these Twitter trolls, they hurt my feelings. And everybody's talking about me. It's not only the Twitter trolls.
But why
trolls would
you go back to playing in the NFL, though?
That this is let me tell you, because it's easier. It's easier to get wins in the NFL. It's easier to win people over when you're catching touchdowns.
But why? So you leave the game for a year just to come back and go through that grind
because
of all that?
Because you have been that. Some people are built to take ridicule better than others.
Right.
I'm guessing this. I don't think that he was built to take that kind of ridicule, and that's why he's going back, because he needs something positive.
But Hugh, and I've talked a lot about this with Randy McMichael, and I used to talk a lot about it with Sam Mitchell, about those guys knew that when it was time to be done, it was time to be done.
Yes.
And I understand some guys hang on, but and I'll ask you, I don't know that we've had this talk about Did you know it was time to be done?
Well, number one, like guys like Randy Mack, Jason Witten to a certain extent, guys that are allowed to leave the game on their own terms, I don't know what that feels like. I was kicked out. I was kicked out because I couldn't play anymore. That's the flat-out truth. I couldn't play. I was hurt. I could not go. If I could have went, if there was a way that I could have healed and was able to go out there and be productive, I would still be playing today if I could.
Well, I understand that, but I guess my question is, for whatever your reason was, did you know and understand that, okay, this is it. I'm done.
Again, I got kicked out because I got hurt. I got hurt. I tore my shoulder and I couldn't recover. Like I would assume that with Randy, he woke up one morning and he was like, you know what? I know my body can't do what it used to do.
I mean, he basically got forced in his last year. He'll tell you.
I mean,
that Norv Turner kind of forced him into that last year.
Yeah,
San Diego.
So that's something that I don't know what that's like. Because I'm pretty sure if Randy would have gotten himself, he probably could have got one more if he wanted to.
Sure.
But he made the decision not to do it. He wanted to do something else. I didn't have that choice.
It just seems strange for a guy who's had a lot of beat-up factor on him and Jason Witten.
Exactly.
That has had a lot of – you talk about like the tread is really worn down on the tire. I'm not taking away what he was because he's going to go in the Hall of Fame,
no,
right?
That's my point. Like Jason Witten at this point in his life, he doesn't have to come back to football. His legacy is already intact. He's already going to Canton. To me, this is – the heat of being on television was so great that I need something positive going on in my life. So I'm going to go ahead and catch me a couple more touchdowns and play this one season and be done with it. And then he'll probably retire. Because I would venture to say that if he wasn't making $3 million in TV, he was damn near close to it.
Oh,
I would almost guarantee that money that he's making for the Cowboys
that's
ESPN, that's probably – it's not that much difference.
Right.
So to me, this is about – the fact that you were on TV and every week somebody you were either in a meeting getting negative feedback, or you were looking at Twitter people on Twitter killing you about your performance on Monday Night Football.
So where is he at this time next year?
Where is he at next time this year?
No. Reverse that. Where is he at this time next year?
Yeah, that's you're right. I would probably say he's going to get a job somewhere. He'll probably, but okay, it
but
won't
back,
be.
But back
it
won't in the
be
media,
on ESPN.
No, I'm asking you. He's not going to try to play more than 1 year. I mean, doesn't that seem? I mean, are you telling me he's coming back? Is this like a retirement tour? Like this is the Cowboy retirement tour?
It all depends on how well he plays next year. Or from what I was just told in my ear, AT thinks he's probably going to be coaching the Cowboys.
Well, you know what I believe about the Cowboys' head coaching job. When Drew Brees retires,
he'll be coaching the Cowboys.
No, when Drew Brees retires, that Sean Payton's going to leave the Saints and he'll come
and go
to
back
Cowboys.
To the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. I will tell you, I believe that Sean Payton is the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
that's because, who Jerry should have hired.
Yeah, their coach right now, he's a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
He's definitely a lame.
But I think Sean Payton's going to ride out Drew Brees in New Orleans and see what he can squeeze out of that. And then once Brees goes, rather than sit there and try to be part of a rebuild, go down to Dallas and Jerry will back up the Brinks truck and give him all kinds of cash.
Yeah, I think this Jason Witten thing is pretty fascinating. I would say this. If it was me and I was in that position, I would take all the criticism. I mean, you can only go up from this. And I know that's probably one of the most premier jobs that you could have in broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I think that he probably tried a little bit harder than it. He probably made it a little bit harder than it needed to be. But I wouldn't have given up. I definitely wouldn't have went back to football. I would have hung in there. I would have hung in there until they fired me. Definitely would have did that.
So now do they make a play for Peyton Manning? Because that's always been the name that was rumored about that particular job. Monday Night Broadcast.
You know what? Honestly, I think that whatever Peyton Manning probably make as much money doing those nationwide commercials as they could ever pay
to be honest with you, those positions aren't about money at this point for guys
like
that.
No, it's just something to do.
Right. I mean.
Something to do.
It's more a matter of, does a guy like Peyton Manning want to go through the week-to-week grind of going
getting ready
on the
for
road.
Game to game
yeah, yeah,
and
exactly,
all that stuff.
Going through all that.
Money does matter. It probably it matters.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. But it's like for him, it's not as big a deal as it is for
me. Can
like
I borrow some
you.
Lunch money?
Yeah. I got you, dog. I got you.
When we get back, some NBA talk. The one of the favorites going into this year in the Eastern Conference has had a rough time of it. We'll get to all of that next. It's John Chuckman for John Fricke on the morning show. Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Back to John and Hugh.
Yes!
Awesome!
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
When the season ends.
Yeah, you can't worry about the standings now. It's too late in the season. I mean, you know, obviously the 4-5 spot, but... you know, it's pretty 1-2 is pretty much locked up. 1-2-3, so you know, just play to as long as we get there. I mean, I can't wait for this. All this other BS about regular season and keep getting better and talking over and over and over and again about what we can do to keep getting better in the regular season. I just want to be at the highest level playing. I mean, that's what I'm here for.
Boston Celtics guard Kyrie Irving there, bringing us back in. It is the morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery in for John Fricke, who will be back next week as Hugh. Runs out, Fricky's back in.
Yeah, like how you said that. I'm not running out, man.
Wait. Don't you come here causing trouble.
My tits grow.
What?
Listen. I'm not saying
right.
I'm not saying any names, but you know.
Who's back? I'm walking that walk. I'm talking that talk, Hugh.
But some folks get a little sensitive around these parts, man. We ain't trying
to.
We're
going to have fun, Daryl. Sorry.
Daryl looking like. Daryl already know what it is. He don't want that heat coming
back.
He
sees that door open and he says, I'm going the other way. He sees that door open.
Some people get a little sensitive, man. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we just don't want no sensitivities.
Not me, man.
Part.
It's just radio,
I know.
Man.
I mean, you're from Ohio. You don't get sensitive like that. You built just, a little different.
It's radio, man. I got bigger fish I got to fry. So, obviously, too, we have all of your Hawks coverage right here, your flagship home of the Hawks on radio. Hawks and Bulls tonight. That's a 7 o'clock pregame tip-off at 7:30 with Steve Holman. Then they will turn right back around and head up to Chicago to take on the Bulls. That's a midday game, and I know that because Randy and I got 5 hours leading you up to Hawks basketball, 3 o'clock pregame, 3:30 tip-off for that action. But you heard Kyrie Irving, Hugh, in that clip. And what has been certainly less than a stellar season for a franchise that looked like it was about to
take
get
that
back
next
to the
step.
Yep, get to the you know, try to bring back some of the glory days, but with the success of what Toronto has done, obviously adding Kawhi Leonard, Milwaukee. Who coached that Milwaukee team? Arthur, who coaches that Milwaukee team?
You talking about the guy that used to be here?
Yeah, who coached
Mike
Milwaukee?
Budenholzer.
Where did he used to be?
Phillips Arena.
Oh.
In his
defense. And they're and what? They're 47. Oh, okay.
Got better players, oh, though. Got some ballers out there, though. Oh.
So
what's that dude name?
Were they 47 and
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Were they 47-14 at any point the last couple of years or?
Not since that 60 and 20
oh.
year.
Oh, so this new years. So the new coach they brought in has really kind of made.
Oh,
a big difference.
Oh no, not hating on the new not hating on the coach now. Now coaching is important, but it's another aspect. The coach too, you got to have some ingredients to making that.
Oh,
to
I
make
understand.
That stew
but
with
but
too.
They also have the best record in the NBA. I'm just.
Oh no.
I'm just throwing
I know where
things
you're going.
Out in the universe. I'm just.
I know you're going.
I'm just. You know. I'm just some jabroni just sitting back here just watching how things operate. But the Celtics right now sitting at fifth in the Eastern Conference with 37 wins, 37 in 25. And you heard Kyrie Irving, who. Now, all of a sudden, Boston ain't so great. Isn't it amazing how, like, when things don't always go your way, Hugh? Like,
what they say, the grass isn't always green on the other side?
Yeah, yeah.
It was green for a little while. I think that for Kyrie Irving, the biggest issue that he's having right now is he's looked at as a leader, and it's tough for him to lead right now. I think that's the biggest thing that you look at with him is that I forgot what it was. They said their record is better without Kyrie than it is with him.
Wow.
Than it is with him. And I think that's the thing. And you look at that, and it kind of makes you wonder. And I'm pretty sure with that being said and him coming back and trying to integrate himself back into that team, that there's a little bit of a round peg and a square hole kind of syndrome going on. And it's probably hard.
I'll tell you the other part of it too, Hugh, is this is probably a pretty good learning lesson for Brad Stevens, where you talk about a guy who – now you get some years in the NBA, and it's a players' league. And unlike being at Butler, and you got kids that are happy to be there, and you got kids that are overachievers, and it's a different. Now you're in a professional league with grown adults and grown men,
ego
and grown money,
and
exactly
have different egos
exactly.
that you have to be
right.
able to
and
mesh
so,
together.
You know, here's a guy who you know it's great to have all the young guys, and you know, hey, look at us, and we're the upcoming team. Well, now what do you do when you got some drama? You know, now
how do you handle that?
Right? How do you handle the what I want to say the negativity or the you know how do you handle some of that? You know, and this is probably a learning lesson for a guy like Brad Stevens who, let's be honest, hasn't had you know Al Horford's not the kind of guy who's going to upset the apple cart, right? I mean, we know
Kyrie is
right, and
we
so
know Kyrie is
you know he's not used to dealing with personalities at a level like that.
I agree. You know, and I would like to ask AT this question and you as well. Does it feel to you guys like, as of lately, it's starting to feel in the NBA like it's going more back to – it's more focused on team as opposed to individual now? Because if you see – when you think about it, most of the teams that are having success are the ones that are playing with more of the team concept. You know, like the Golden State, you talk about Milwaukee and things like that. And Philadelphia, for that matter. Does it feel like it's going back to more of a team concept as opposed to an individual?
I think that's always been the goal, but I think it differs or it depends on each individual franchise because you've got LeBron out there acting like he's running the Lakers from top to bottom, and they're a mess, and Kyrie is – the Celtics, I can't figure them out for anything because everything was riding high with them going into that Eastern Conference playoff run last year. Now, remember, Kyrie wasn't playing during that time because he was out and Gordon Hayward was out. And now they've been trying to integrate those guys back into the season. And I think the younger guys on that team have been frustrated by the fact that maybe they aren't getting the same amount of looks. And these other guys are, like Kyrie, are back and he's pounding the ball and getting maybe taking a little bit more liberty with the offense than they saw a year ago. But it's the NBA is all about individualism first, team second, and that'll never change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean I'll say it like this, Hugh. Let's not get it twisted. You know, Milwaukee's got a top five player in the NBA on its roster. Okay. Toronto added, you know, Cowie, one of the best two-way players in all of the NBA, and you see what a difference that he's done to help make this a much more legitimate franchise, and then, you know, adding a Marc Gasol to it. So that sounds good, you know, and it's still, you know, in the Western Conference, it's still Golden State, you know, it's leading the West. So you better have all your superstars. You better have your core group of elite-level players. It's not coincidence that the leader of the East and the leader of the West, you know, have what, Arthur, three of the top seven players in the entire NBA or six players in the NBA?
Yeah, it was always that. I always found that strange when I was in the league that everybody acted like San Antonio didn't have superstars. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, they have five guys that are going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I mean Robinson, Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker are Hall of Famers. You know, Cowie's a Hall of Famer probably at some point if he keeps up the pace.
They just didn't have personality.
Right.
So.
And they were in San Antonio.
Well.
As Charles Barkley would say.
They had a really good coach, too, down there, right?
Oh, no, they do.
Yeah. Who's coaching Milwaukee again? I keep forgetting.
Bud.
Oh.
You know what? I saw a Bud face from him a week ago. It's been a while since we've seen the Bud face.
And he was coaching the All-Star team, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
You sound a little touchy there, my man.
Anyway, so it should be interesting. I hope Toronto and Milwaukee, Hugh, end up getting in a seven-game series in the Eastern Conference finals. It's certainly going to look different because of no LeBron James, so you don't have that immediate factor of, well, we know who's going to win this.
Well, you're talking
despite
about
what their
in the
is.
East.
Yeah.
But I thought you were talking about, but don't count LeBron James out of the playoffs just yet.
Okay. I'll count them out, you know. Anyway.
No, I'm just keeping hope alive. I got a friend of mine who's a big Laker fan.
Oh, who's
and he's
that?
Keeping big friend
who's
of mine.
That?
Big
really?
Friend of mine.
Uh-huh. Is he wear red Dodger hats?
Oh, he's an LA fan. He's a fan of everything LA.
Okay.
How did Yosef do that?
I see what you're doing, AT. What you're doing over there.
Hey, now he's been Dow Jonesing a little bit when it comes to his Lakers.
Oh, so that's why he doesn't want to have fun on the radio.
I'm Dow Jonesing with LeBron James. Let's keep it real.
Now I understand why he doesn't want to have fun on the radio.
You see how he separates the two? Mm. LeBron James is a Laker, but he likes the Lakers, but he's not a big fan of LeBron.
I am not.
Now I see why
LeBron
he doesn't want
to James
have fun.
Is your only chance to probably make it to the playoffs.
Okay. I agree.
Now it all makes sense. No fun, Daryl. Okay. When
I'm gonna get you
back, huh? What? What I miss? When we get back, who's coaching Milwaukee again? Anyway, when we get back, the signing in free agency in baseball finally happened yesterday. What kind of dynamic does that now create for the Braves and the rest of the NL East? We'll talk about the Bryce Harper signing. It's the morning show. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery, and Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.